Welcome to Lay of the Brand, where we talk with the experts on tech marketing, creative, and PR to learn what's new, what's working, and what's next. I'm Peter Jacobs of Merit Group, and for this edition, the first of two parts, we're bringing you the conversation we recently had with three tech CMOs for the webinar Sales and Marketing Strategies for Getting Back to Business. The COVID-19 pandemic naturally has the world focused on keeping people safe and healthy, but at the same time, concerns about how to keep the economy moving are driving a lot of change and confusion in how tech companies go to market. Our experts, Rushmi Vittal of Conversica, Russ Cobb of IronNet Cybersecurity, and Matt Selheimer of PAS Global, gave us their insights on how companies can adapt their marketing and sales approaches to keep customer relationships intact and growing while we navigate these difficult and uncertain times. Here's part one of our conversation.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Jacobs of Merit Group, and needless to say, these are unusual times. Can brands continue to market and sell when the situation is so fluid and the world's attention is, rightly so, focused on so many things other than business? To discuss what's changed and what hasn't, and how to continue moving forward through the uncertainty, we're joined by three senior marketing leaders who bring a variety of perspectives and experience to these questions. Before we meet each of our panelists, please note that all lines have been muted during the presentation, and after the discussion, we'll take your questions using Zoom's Q&A function. Now, as we meet each of our panelists, they'll give us a little background on their company and their role as CMO. Please welcome Rushmi Vittal, Chief Marketing Officer of Conversica. Rushmi, please tell us something about Conversica.
You bet, Peter. Thanks for having me here today. And hi, everyone, and thanks for joining. So as a CMO at Conversica, I oversee all things marketing, from brand awareness to category creation, go-to-market strategy, messaging and positioning to pipeline generation. And so at Conversica, Conversica is actually a leading provider of intelligent virtual assistants that help organizations attract, acquire, and grow customers at scale to accelerate revenue across the entire customer lifecycle. So we've actually helped our customers generate over $20 billion of revenue because they've been able to deploy over 3,000 IVAs, augmenting their sales, marketing, and customer success teams. And so for them, that means how can you engage in use an intelligent virtual assistant to engage in that natural human-like two-way conversation to drive towards the next best action. That could be scheduling a sales meeting, gauging interest to buy additional products or services, or politely but persistently collecting overdue payments.
And what's your role as CMO?
Yeah, so I oversee all things marketing, right? So from brand awareness to category creation to the go-to-market strategy in terms of where do we think the revenue is going to come from, as well as then translating that into marketing programs and activities that drive pipeline creation.
Thank you. Now let's meet Russ Cobb, Chief Marketing Officer of IronNet Cybersecurity. Thanks for being here, Russ.
Peter, thanks very much for having me. And thanks for everyone who's tuned in. Look forward to the discussion over the next 45 minutes or so. So I'm with IronNet Cybersecurity. We're on a different side of the business than Rashmi and Conversica. She's forward-facing the customers. We actually work with CIOs and CISOs to defend their property. We believe, and it's analogous to the situation that we find ourselves in as a society, that we defend better together when we take more cooperation and more collaborative actions together than trying to defend alone. So we're trying to reset the security strategy paradigm. We call this approach collective defense, and we have a collective defense platform that helps companies share threat insights at machine speed across company and across state and even national boundaries. We also do behavioral analytics, so we participate in the network traffic analytics space using machine learning and AI to better predict things before they happen. My role as CMO, I have a lot of the same responsibilities that Rashmi has. Given that we are a company with about a year to 15 months of what you would recognize as significant sales and marketing build and expertise, I also spend a lot of time with our chief revenue officer trying to make sure that we are doing appropriate levels of segmentation in the market, territory creation, and then from a go-to-market perspective, making sure that we've got the right kinds of partners and partnership organizations linked to us. So it's a little bit about IronNet, a little bit about me.
Thanks very much, Russ. Now we have Matt Selheimer, Chief Marketing Officer for PAS Global. Matt, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Peter. So while Russ and his team at IronNet are focused on IT security, my company, PAS Global, we're focused on operational technology. So we serve the needs of industrial organizations, think oil and gas companies, refineries, chemical plants, power generation facilities, pulp and paper mills, et cetera. And we help them reduce their cyber risk as well as help them to monitor and optimize their operations so they can reduce process safety risks. A big transition for us in the COVID-19 environment has been helping those facilities continue to operate safely and reliably, even though their workforces are having to work remotely. And here at PAS Global, I'm the Chief Marketing Officer, responsible for all aspects of marketing as a member of the leadership team.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you again to all three of you. To set the scene for our discussion, here's a few things to consider. We're talking about a situation that's far outside the normal cadence of business. What's different about the roles of sales and marketing in this environment, as some recent studies have shown, is that the market's expectations of brands are specific and very strongly felt. ACE Metrics found that 75% of consumers believe brands have a responsibility to help during the pandemic, but they're looking for action, not just uplifting messages. Other surveys show that not only do customers want to hear about a brand's response to the crisis, they may actually try to get people in their circles to avoid brands they feel are not doing the right things or that are coming across as opportunistic. So right now, as marketers, we have four big responsibilities. We need to rescue the pipeline and follow up leads quickly and keep moving forward. Marketing should lead and show the organization how to pivot and navigate change. We should make sure that every move and every message is consistent with and reinforces the company's core values in order to preserve the brand. And finally, we obviously need to protect revenue. That means focusing on keeping current customers engaged while attracting new business in a time when the market is cutting out anything that doesn't really deliver value. If you think about it, though, it's pretty much what marketing does in every economy and every circumstance. So with so much going on in their own businesses and personal lives, I put it to our panel. Do buyers want to be marketed and sold to now? Rushmi, let's start with you.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. I think if you just take a look at the temperature of the market, and whoever it is that you serve, you know, it has changed quite rapidly, I'd say, over the past 2 months, right? Initially, our customers and organizations that we market to, like many of us, were focused on one thing, which was retaining their base, right? Making sure that their customers are whole and they're happy and that they understand that there's business continuity, and then modeling how much of the slowdown would actually impact their own business and then taking the right precautionary actions there, all the while needing to protect their employees, ensuring kind of safety and security, right? And with that, there was some impact that was had, right? There was impact to budgets, there was impact to, as it translates to marketing departments, how you spend and use that budget, and a reevaluation of what is the key go-to-market strategies we should have, who are the markets we should be going after if we could spend anything at all. And I would say for the past, if you fast forward kind of what's been happening the past 4 weeks and even now into the past week and present, what you're looking at is an acceleration of the fact that when I talk to my peer group, marketing leaders, especially in technology space, which we're in, while budgets are tight, we're still actively doing a lot and running a lot of marketing programs so that we could prepare ourselves for when the recovery phase comes in. Now, the reception of that, I think we're gauging to see whether organizations want to be marketed to. I think right now there's a penchant for reevaluating what your strategies are, looking at maybe potentially new innovations to help us come out of this kind of downturn and back into recovery and making sure that we're prepared for that. So in our business, given what we do, we are seeing really good conversations with our market happening because we're providing relief for these marketing and sales and customer success teams that have been impacted by COVID-19 And as they're thinking in the future, how can they quickly recover so that they can meet demands of the market? And so that for us, we're seeing. But we have to be careful in our in what we market to. It can't be, it's got to be educational. I think it's got to be informational, and it's got to be done with a certain level of empathy, because we're all feeling the pain as we're going through this.
Yeah. If I could jump in, I completely agree with the last point in particular about empathy. You know, the situation that a lot of our customers find themselves in, and again, we sell to the CISO, Chief Information Security Officer. That's usually our executive level sponsor, and then to SOC leaders, so security operations centers. And if you think about what has happened in their companies, there's two big dynamics that happen. First of all, people who used to work in one big room together, that being the SOC, are now distributed back to their home offices, right? So suddenly this group of people that you had that is a SOC manager or CISO, they were always working together in one secure enclosed space. They're now distributed. And so that's a pretty negative impact. Second factor is a lot of companies have had to add devices to their networks. So one of our customers who has a big call center overseas, call center can't go in. They're all working from home now. They had to ship out laptops to them. So you've now really increased your security perimeter as a CISO that you're accountable for securing. And so these dynamics, I think, have caused a situation in our customer group where, no, they don't want to be marketed to. They don't want to be sold to, if you want to put the air quotes around marketing and sold to. They want to be heard. So they still want to have the conversations and they want to be understood. They want to make sure that, you know, we realize how much more difficult their jobs have gotten in the past 6 weeks. Definitely agree they like to be educated. So whenever we can bring something of value to them, finding that we had at another customer, something that we saw out in the market. So we're trying to do that proactively. Again, it's educating, but it's giving them something of value, not marketing collateral. And then I think the third dynamic is everyone's clock speed has gotten sped up a lot. I know sometimes it didn't feel like it. April felt like it was like a three-month month, but we're having to make decisions so quickly. Our decision cycles are really quick. So I think we have to be much more responsive. And so when we do get a question, an inbound query, we have to be on it all that much more quickly. So it's definitely for us not the traditional marketing and selling environment.
And just to add then to what Rashmi and Russ were saying, you know, I always like to go back to first principles, marketing 101, understand your audience. And you know, how are their needs and challenges changing, and what is staying consistent? So for us, you know, supporting industrial facilities where safety is a 24/7 priority, cybersecurity remains a consistent challenge. It was a challenge before COVID-19, and it remains a challenge. These organizations are, you know, under increasing levels of attack from malicious actors, and we need to continue to help them reduce their cyber risk. At the same time, just like Russ was saying about security operations centers, operational teams that used to go into a plant or a facility to run that facility are having to work from home. And so the ability to remotely operate that facility, to do daily stand-up meetings, to look at things like alarms and safety system status and things like that, and have access to that data. So we've actually needed to respond from a marketing standpoint and creating some new collateral and some new sales enablement materials and educating our sales team on how we help support remote operations, because many of these facilities have never had to or wanted to remote operate. And now, you know, they've had to. And so we've been able to pivot some of our marketing strategy and content in order to be able to address that new and emerging need. So I think it really back to understanding your target audience and their needs and their challenges. No one ever wants to be marketed or sold to. People wake up in the morning and they have a problem they're trying to solve.
Right. And obviously there are things you can control, things that are beyond your control. So as marketers and sales enablers, you've got to figure out what those priorities are. So my question is, what assumptions have you found that still make sense in this time? And what's changed, Matt?
So, you know, assumptions that have held true is I always believe in having a variety of different tactics in market as many times as possible. I believe I'm a very data-driven CMO, and I don't believe that I or my team has complete understanding of our customers and their changing needs and changing ways of engaging. So what has held true is we continue to put a variety of different tactics in market. Obviously, we're not doing physical events the way that we were before, but we are continuing to engage in a variety of different tactics. We've doubled down on email marketing as well as sourcing of net new contacts into our marketing database, trying to engage net new individuals, both within existing accounts as well as in within prospect accounts. And we're observing data. I would say we've probably increased the frequency of our data observation as well, so that we are both gathering data quantitatively as well as qualitatively gathering data from our sales force and from others on a more frequent basis as we try and understand, you know, what types of content are people interested in, what types of channels are driving the highest degree of engagement, what changes are we seeing in different channel strategies.
Rashmi, what about your assumptions? What's changed and what stayed the same?
Right. I mean, I think when you think about, let's just take a look at something like pipeline and demand generation, where your pipeline used to come from, it's no longer coming from there. And if you were in an industry or an organization where field events were a significant contributor to your pipeline, shifting, just because you're shifting to webinars or virtual events doesn't necessarily fill that gap. The key question is, if you're going to make those digital investments, are you getting a return on that investment? And very similar to what Matt said, it's like you have to be very data-driven. You have to be able to constantly monitor the results that you're getting off of those digital investments, make some assumptions, some hypotheses, and then put those experiments to test. And so, and be able to move or pivot quickly, right? And make determinations. I mean, look, a lot of us are really, you know, to Russ's point, I mean, I feel like we're in a time elapse kind of continuum right now where, you know, even though April might have felt like 3 months, it the sentiment of the market really evolved very quickly. And so we as marketing leaders have to think about how can we stay ahead of that to meet the needs of our customers at that point in time. And so to that point is, if you still really understand your customers' problems, if you can now put yourself in their shoes and say, what are they actually feeling or dealing with right now? And how are they thinking about their current situation, what they need to get out of it? Then you can be better positioned to address those needs at that point in time and be more of that advisor and that consultant to them so that they feel like they have a partner with them as they're moving and moving out of this phase and into hopefully a recovery phase.
Mm-hmm. Russ, what about your assumptions?
So one that has stayed the same and then one that has changed a bit. The one that has stayed the same is the value of content. Content has to be clear, has to be concise, has to be compelling. And I love the measurement, and we do a lot in terms of measuring different channels and A/B testing and things like that. But we really are focused now on content, the content itself, the creation of it, and making sure that it is very relevant to the people that we're sending it to, that we want to pick up on it. So that whole assumption that in today's modern marketing machine, which is highly leveraging digital, lots of different channels, lots of different ways to do that, at the heart of that has to be great content. And that's what's going to capture people and then keep them engaged and connected with your company. So that one, I would just say, you know, we're double clicking, triple clicking on that one. I think what has changed, and Rashmi, I liked your language around this, is we're trying to help sales change the way they have conversations with customers. And you know, there's all kinds of different selling methodologies, and they always have something, you know, well, make sure you're listening to your customer, et cetera. But they still tend to be, the intent of them is driving a sales cycle from this stage to this stage to this stage to a conclusion as rapidly as possible. Right? That's sales. And so trying to get them to come around to the idea that, you know what, a touch point with a customer or a prospect does not have to be a selling opportunity. It can simply be a touch point, and it's an opportunity for you to engage with them, but it's different. It's you being authentically asking questions and listening to the answers without that underlying motive being too visible that, well, I'm really just trying to sell you something. And so I think that is an assumption, I guess I'll characterize it, that we've been trying to work with our sales team so they have a different kind of conversation.
Well, let's talk more about that relationship with sales. How are you as marketing leaders proactively engaging to show sales that marketing is still doing the things that they need? Matt?
Yeah, you hit the key word there, proactively. So when the proverbial S-blank-IT hit the fan back in March, I was very proactive in reaching out to my sales counterpart as well as my CEO and saying, this is what I'm planning to do. I'm going to take stock of our current programs that we have in market, where we're spending money, and I'm going to come back to you in a few days with some recommendations. I also want to listen to your input and feedback. I've been on the receiving end prior roles of requests for cutting budget and such, and don't like to be on the receiving end of those kinds of requests. We prefer to be more in a position of control and advisory capacity as the responsible executive for the marketing function in the company. And so really being proactive and pulling together my plans with the team quickly was my number one priority, and coming back with some suggestions on here's some areas where we can double down and do more. As Rashmi said, here's how we're going to replace some of the funnel that we were getting from marketing events, but that I also don't have all the answers, and that we're going to need to keep putting certain tactics in market and learn over the course of the coming weeks where our best channels are going to be in the current here and now. And then also, here are some tangible savings that we can realize. Here's some delayed spend or delayed hiring, or perhaps some areas that we can pull back on. We just made a decision to pull back on some plans around some brand advertising that we were planning, some digital banner ads and things like that that we were planning to do, where I said, right now, that's got a longer lead time and less of a direct correlation to pipeline building. So I'm going to pull back on that spend in order to be a good steward of the company's cash.
Yeah. Rashmi, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was just thinking of something like an analogy in my head, which is, sheltered in place has definitely tested relationships in the home. I think sheltered in place has also tested your relationship between marketing and sales. And I've always been a fundamental believer that it is critical to have really good relationship with your sales leader and to have open communication. And if you entered into this with that, then you collectively together can come with solutions to get out of it. If you had a poor relationship going into it, it's probably manifesting itself and you're struggling to get the ideas or things instituted that you need to do, or getting the buy-in or the partnership needed to make that happen. In our case, really lucky to have a strong partnership with sales, and together we've been very transparent in terms of what this transition means, the impact it has, and what the outcomes, and trying to model it to the best of our ability. I'd say we were pretty early on. I would say by mid-March, we were already blogging about the impact this is going to have on sales and marketing organizations. Because inherently of what we do, we started in January working with our customers to change their messaging that the intelligent virtual assistants were conducting on behalf of their customers, to include empathetic messages and informational statements, and to say, hey, if you need to learn more, reach out to us. We'll get connected and have a conversation with you. And so we've been pretty proactive of that. I would say, the key thing for the sales counterpart is to just demonstrate for them, what are you doing to shift? So one of the first things we did on April 1st is shifted some of our marketing programs and taking a look at the market segments to look at and to go specifically after essential industries. So we pivoted our marketing programs to focus on those accounts that fall under essential industries, promote to them with the right kind of messaging about, you know, you're having a surge right now. How are you keeping up with that capacity? Is your sales team able to keep up with all that demand? Let's help you. To then those who are non-essential industries saying, hey, while you're kind of freaking out right now, don't stop thinking about, this is a great way for you to do some kind of fundamental things, which is how do you get the most out of the digital investments you know you're going to need to make because you're shifting to a digital only strategy right now. How can you also take this time to take a step back and say, as a marketing organization, are we doing some good housekeeping? There could be a ton of untouched leads, or what we call dormant or colder leads, that are accumulating that you've never had a chance to take a look at. Now's a great time to go ahead and take a look at that. So if you think about that, we were focused on how can we help retain the base? How can we help make sure marketing and sales leaders know how best to take advantage of their digital investments? And then how can we help you think about doing good housekeeping within your own organization? And we were doing that as well in our organization. So it's kind of interesting, based on what we do in our organization and what we learn, we can also then message that out to sales and marketing leaders because they can benefit from that new insight as well.
Russ?
So even in the best of times, I think by design, marketing and sales have a, let's call it a healthy tension. And so I agree, you know, Rashmi, with the comment, is putting pressure on relationships everywhere. So I guess this is the seventh week now that every day at 5 o'clock, chief product officer, myself, chief revenue officer, we have a daily stand-up. And we scheduled it for 30 minutes to start with. Rarely do we go less than an hour. And it is the everyday cadence that we keep to make sure that the three of us stay aligned, person to person, as well as having the accountability for our organizations. And then that helps keep everyone else aligned. You know, the term pivot is way overused, but everyone is trying to do that right now, particularly, Rashmi said, you know, the people in the technology space. So we are trying to quickly adapt to what is a changing environment almost every day. And so to do that, I firmly believe that the folks at the top have to stay synced. Our ELT, we meet every Monday. That's been a standing meeting for a long time, but adding that cadence every day, 5 o'clock, Sean, Don, and I get on the phone on Google Hangout. So we see each other at our best and worst. And we just talk through, like, what are the tactical things? What are the urgent things? And then we also try to make sure that we are maintaining a bit of an eye on the horizon to understand everything that we thought was important 3 to 4 months ago in terms of the longer term planning around strategy, go to market. That's still there. And so we want to make sure that we're explicitly leaving time for that. But it's the daily stand-up every day at 5. Everyone in the company knows that we do it. And I think that has just given us a very good routine and made sure that our communications are staying pretty tight and very consistent.
Peter, if I could jump back in, just building on what Russ was saying, because I didn't specifically talk about product in my earlier comments. One of the things that we're also trying to do is recognize where there's an opportunity in the current situation, specifically on our operational technology or OT cybersecurity business. This is still an early stage market, and there is no 800-pound gorilla in that particular market space. And so we've increased our conversations around competitive intelligence. What are we seeing that our competitors are doing? What announcements are they making? What are they blogging? What are they saying on social media? As well as, you know, through, you know, continuous recruiting and other methods, what are we hearing on the street in terms of their financial health, and whether or not, you know, those businesses that we're competing against maybe, you know, having some challenges, and whether or not we're seeing them pulling back on marketing tactics in certain areas. So one of the things I've been doing with our chief revenue officer and chief product officer is talking about revisiting our launch calendar and whether or not there are certain releases that we could pull in earlier in the year, certain things that we can talk about in the market that we're working on from a product standpoint in order to help showcase product differentiation in this market, while maybe our competitors might not be in as fortuitous a position as us in terms of their roadmap or their financial position.
Thanks for joining us for part one of our conversation from our recent webinar. In part two, we'll take a deeper look at how our experts are realigning their priorities and budgets, the future of events, and their recommendations for what to do and not do. If you have questions about the discussion so far, please reach out to us and we'll provide answers and recommendations. Lay of the Brand is brought to you by Merit Group, an integrated strategic communications firm that blends the best of PR, digital, and creative to help our clients tell their stories and build business. Got a topic suggestion or want to share feedback? Subscribe to Lay of the Brand on your preferred listening platform and leave us a review. And please spread the word and tell your friends and colleagues to tune in as well. To learn more about Merit Group, check out layofthebrand.com.